Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Logic doesn't work anymore. We have entered an environment in which thinking doesn't count.
We have all these kids today who really have been cheated by our society, and they feel that deeply inside them, and they can't really name it. And so they latch onto these social justice causes as a way to kind of validate and make them feel good.
They're calling them commemorations. The Reformation is not being celebrated. You commemorate something that is dead. So Rome is commemorating the Reformation.
And that's what's so wonderful about our Lutheran understanding of the Word and the sacraments, even of the liturgy, that Christ is there in our presence.
This is Jeff in Michigan, and I'm a woodworker listener. We love Issues Etc.
We often think of the first man, Adam. What was his vocation? What was he given by God to do before the fall? We know afterwards that he's essentially a tenant farmer from that point on, doomed to, as God says, eat his bread by the sweat of his brow. But before that, what was his task? Of course, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He is there to keep the garden. He's a gardener. He's a farmer. He's also going to have to be at some point an engineer, and ultimately, if he's going to live apart from the fall in this world forever, he's going to be a scientist too. He's going to learn and grow in his knowledge of the world that God created for him and the world that God gave to him. Science is a good thing. It's about telling the truth about the world around us. It's about asking questions and arriving at the best possible answers. And if you find out later that that answer is incomplete, you make it more complete. Or if it's wrong, you step away from it and you take a second stab at the answer to that question, maybe a third and a fourth. But then science can also, as a good gift from God, especially after the fall, be terribly abused. And we see it all around us nowadays in what we're going to call fake science. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about fake science with Austin Ruse, president of CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights. A little bit later, we will review the movie War for the Planet of the Apes with Pastor Ted Giese. He says it's a cross between the Ten Commandments and the Great Escape, and it's got a lot of religious themes running through it, maybe a little bit of misanthropy as well. We'll talk about all of that with Pastor Ted Giese. After that, Dr. John Kleinig joins us for the beginning of a new series on the book of Hebrews. He is author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, the Concordia Commentary on Hebrews. We'll round everything off on this Friday afternoon, as we often do, playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites to play for you. We will play them. Then your part in the game begins. You give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet with your vote at IssuesETC, or leave your vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about fake science, Austin Ruse. He's president of CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights, a columnist for Crisis Magazine, and author of the new book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data. Austin, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. I'm also grew up in St. Louis, by the way.
Oh, well, a native. That's good to hear. Most of your work with CFAM has to do with the United Nations. Where do you see what you call fake science most on display on that global stage?
Well, very clearly, global warming, the so-called climate change debate. I mean, that is a nonstop drumbeat at the international level, most especially at the United Nations. And there's a whole lot of fake science built around that. But that's not the only one. Internationally, coming from the UN, is also UN-style family planning, which is another word for population control. And the notion that there's this massive global unmet need for UN-style family planning. Unmet need is one of the big lies at the international level that you hear constantly at the UN and other international bodies.
What does that mean, unmet need?
Unmet need is the claim that women have an unmet need, that they need UN-style family planning, but they can't get it. They don't have access to it. When, as a matter of fact, the world is awash in UN-style family planning, condoms and injectables and the whole thing. But the left constantly says there's this massive unmet need. And included in the women who supposedly have an unmet need are women who don't want to use it because of health reasons, don't want to use it because of religious reasons. But they're all lumped in there as having this need that's unmet. So it's a phony number that was first exposed by a Harvard professor named Lant Pritchard 15 years ago. But my colleague at CFAM, Rebecca Owis, has written extensively on the phoniness of unmet need. But unmet need is really one of the, and most people have never even heard this, but it's one of the biggest issues at the international level that we deal with at CFAM.
You have written that science is an inflated medium of exchange these days. What do you mean by that?
Well, we live in the age of science. We science is the lingua franca of our age. And in many ways, science has gotten too big for its britches. The most important chapter in the book, I think, is the one entitled Back Off, Man, I'm a Scientist, which you'll recognize as Bill Murray from Ghostbusters. And the essence of that statement is, I'm a scientist. You have no right to question me. You ought to sit down and shut up. And that is also built into the statement that we hear, the science is settled. Also claims that we are anti-science for, being against embryo destructive research and things like that. So science has grown a little bit too big for its britches, and wants the rest of us to simply doff our caps and say, yes, sir, may I have another?
So, contrast, if you would, real science with fake science.
Well, there's tons and tons of real science out there. There's no question about that. And I have a lot of it in the book. I mean, real science is science that's honest, that can be replicated, that does not come weighted with ideology. One of the problems that we're having today is that science, public policy, everything has become so ideological, and science has followed suit. The federal government is riddled with leftists commissioning scientific studies that back up their left-wing claims, and this is where a lot of fake science comes from. There are great studies coming out of the federal government, but there's an awful lot of ideology coming out of science these days. So real science is objective, can be replicated, and does not come with an ideological bias.
You write near the end of your book about peer review, which is often heard as, here is the stamp of infallibility on whatever we're going to tell you. What is peer review really, and why should we be suspicious of the claim peer-reviewed scientific findings?
Well, peer review has become a little bit of a scam, more than a little bit of a scam. A peer review is where a paper is handed over to a group of experts who then look at the paper or look at the funding request and determine whether it will be published or whether the grant will be given. One of the things that has happened in recent years is that the peer review process, like everything else, has been taken over by the left. conservatives in social sciences, for instance, largely cannot get peer-reviewed because they're wanting to publish on topics that are outside of what the left considers to be the mainstream. So that's what peer review is. It's kind of a mug's game going in. But then what has happened in recent years is that it has become so ideological and fraught with fraud. There's a new website called Retraction Watch, which tracks the regular withdrawal of peer-reviewed studies that have been cited for phony or fraudulent research. The Springer Publishing people a couple of years ago withdrew 100 papers or more because there was fraud in the peer review process, including people peer reviewing themselves under different names. You know, the Amgen people of California tried to replicate 57 landmark studies in biomedical research and couldn't. Replication is one of the central aspects of science. There was one particular study on cancer that has been cited 650 times in scientific journals, but it turns out that the cancer cell that they were examining was the wrong kind of cancer cell for what they were publishing about. So there's a whole lot of problems in peer review.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the places where the average person is going to hear fake science and probably think that they're hearing the real deal. What about world hunger?
Well, I not world hunger, but hunger in the United States, because there really is hunger in the world. I don't know what the statistics are, but I looked at the United States. And, you know, people will see billboards every once in a while that will say something like, you know, 4 in 10 children or 1 in 4 children, I forget exactly what it is right now, go to bed hungry every night. And this is false. As a matter of fact, the federal government changed the definition of hunger many years ago to food security, low food security, and hunger is not mentioned. Now, why did they do that? They did it because the number of people authentically going to bed hungry regularly is vanishingly small. Food security is a reference to a worry that somebody may have at the end of the month that they won't have enough money tomorrow or next week to feed themselves or their family. The Department of Labor statistics, however, moreover, show that an inordinate number of people below the poverty line smoke cigarettes. 2 packs of cigarettes a day adds up to real money by the end of the month, especially if you're short on your family budget. You know, fountain drinks or buying sodas out of vending machines could be a $1 or $2 a day habit. That's a lot of money by the end. That's money for the family budget by the end of the month. Some people think that McDonald's is the poor man's friend, when in fact, fast food is among the most expensive calories that you can buy. You know, a bowl of ramen noodles, you know, for 99 cents at the store is a very filling meal, rice and beans. So even low food security can be ameliorated by changes in behavior, something that the left certainly never wants to talk about.
We're talking about fake science. Austin Roos is our guest, author of the new book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data. He's president of CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights, and a columnist for Crisis Magazine. When we come back, we will talk about climate change. You mentioned it before, and he says it is real, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Stay tuned.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
It's always a little bit creepy whenever a large conglomerate of a bunch of big Fortune 500 companies come together and start to dictate bathroom policies.
Here's what I'm really saying to God. You know, God, I was driving down the expressway and I saw this tool chest, and I recognize that it is my tool chest. The problem is you gave it to the wrong person.
Everything is designed nowadays in evangelicalism to basically throttle the word and hand it out piecemeal, maybe a verse or a sentence at a time.
Every person is going to see something wrong with their pastor. Now, why has the Lord let you see that wrong thing about your pastor? The answer is so that you can pray for them.
In the next hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's just a taste of the four soundbites that we have lined up to play for you. You will hear them in their entirety, and then you will vote by sending us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, voting at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. We're talking about fake science. Austin Roos is our guest. He's author of the new book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left-Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data. Austin, you had mentioned earlier climate change, and you say that it is real, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is that, a lot of people don't know this. There was something called the Little Ice Age that ended in 1870. So it is a natural process that after the end of an ice age, there would be an increase in temperature, and this is precisely what has happened. You know, about 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit is the agreed upon number that temperatures globally have increased since the end of the Little Ice Age. And this is, and when I say this is a good thing, it's because it's good for agriculture. You know, it's warmer temperatures are good for us, and 1.5 is not an alarming number. What is alarming are the claims made by the warmists, you know, the alarmists on the left with regard to global warming, you know, that we're going to, you know, the polar bear is going to be extinct, which is false. There's as many today as we did, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. That, you know, Europe is going to be underwater, Manhattan's going to be underwater, that there's been this amazing increase in the number of storms, when in fact a hurricane has not made landfall in the United States in almost a quarter of a century. There are few, you know, the number of tornadoes has not increased over the last 20, 25 years. So all of these claims that supposedly back up so-called global warming are false. But the globe has increased in temperature just a little bit. It just hasn't been calamitous and won't be.
So I guess it raises a question, Austin. Why the alarmism? Why the, you know, pictures of the oceans rising to cover every continent? Why the pictures of the iconic one is the polar bear sitting on this little tiny floe of ice, almost too small to hold him, and boy, that's going to be gone soon, and then he'll be gone. Why the alarmism in the service of science?
Well, I think that they want to change, you know, it, alone in all the areas that we work in or that we're concerned about in this book, you know, and practically in public policy itself, alone is the environment is the area where they want us to change our behavior. They don't want to change our, have us change our behavior with regard to, you know, the sexual revolution, human sexuality. They don't want to have us change our behavior in anything except the environment. Now, why? Because I think that they want to redistribute the wealth from the very wealthy United States to the developing world. This is one of the interactions that you see in public policy at the global level, and I think that a lot of folks here in the United States, you know, probably feel guilty that we're such a wealthy society and we shouldn't be quite so wealthy. So let's ratchet down our economic growth and our industrialization and give some of that, which is what the Paris Climate Accords were all about, give some of that to the developing world. So I think it has a lot to do with simply changing behavior for other reasons.
We are told, with respect to something you just mentioned, the sexual revolution, that homosexuality is an inborn and unchanging, utterly normal expression of human sexuality. What does the actual science indicate about that claim?
Well, the claim that it is inborn has never been shown. And that's the key thing for people to understand. Born that way has never been shown. Now, people will say, oh, well, didn't they discover a gay gene? No, as a matter of fact, nobody ever has. In fact, the guy who did that study that is credited with finding the gay gene actually says, you know what, I didn't find the gay gene. They'll throw out brain studies. A study of the hypothalamus is different in gay men than in straight men. The problem with all that is that brain imaging is the question of causation. Did the different brain cause homosexuality, or is it a result of living the gay way? And the hypothalamus study was done on dead people, and many of them probably had HIV/AIDS, and that could be a cause. So the notion that it's inborn has never been shown by any credible scientific study. And with regard to immutability, that it can't be changed, there's just too many ex-gays walking around in the world today for anybody to credibly believe that. And as a matter of fact, even gay-friendly scholars like Lisa Diamond of the University of Utah say that that sexuality is plastic and fluid, most especially in women. So those two central claims in the gay marriage debate leading up to Obergefell 2 years ago are just fake science. There's just no other word for it but fake science.
And
by the way, there's a new study out that shows that that gays are avoiding marriage in droves. There's hardly a slight increase in the number of gay marriages since Obergefell, and the surprising statistic in the new Gallup poll shows that more gays are married to the opposite sex than to the same sex.
You mentioned Obergefell. I mean, that's pretty tragic when a Supreme Court decision radically changing the laws of every single state in the union is based upon a completely false assumption about homosexuality.
One of the main studies that was cited in Obergefell was the same study that was cited in the Lawrence v. Texas case that made sodomy a constitutional right, was the same study cited by the American Psychiatric Association when they changed the diagnostic manual to say that homosexuality was not a mental disorder. It's a study from 1957 by a woman named Evelyn Hooker, and her study has been thoroughly debunked, yet it's trotted out by the left time and time again. I can go into great boring detail about why her study is false, but Evelyn Hooker's 1957 study that's been relied upon up to Obergefell is fake science also.
Why, when it comes to the issue of when life begins and who the unborn are, why is it that the proponents of abortion seem to kind of forget where babies come from?
Well, because they're in love with abortion. You know, I begin my abortion chapter with the sentence that everything the left says about abortion is a lie, including and the. Because they have lied about everything. In the beginning, remember, they said it was a blob of tissue. Some people still say that. They are now trying to change the definition of pregnancy from conception to implantation. Chris Gasek of the Family Research Council did a really great study some years ago where he and his team looked at all the major medical dictionaries and all the major medical textbooks to determine when over the last 100 years they have said that pregnancy begins, and almost 100% of them always have said at conception. Some have changed to implantation, but even still, most of them say conception. Yet you have, you know, Planned Parenthood and the Center for Reproductive Rights and all of the ideologues on the left now saying that pregnancy and therefore life begins at implantation. So therefore, abortifacient drugs really don't cause abortion. That's what that's about, and that's fake science.
What about the effects of harmful effects and side effects of abortion?
You know, the scientific community is 100% certain that there are no psychological effects of abortion on women, and as a matter of fact, there are plenty of studies and plenty of anecdotal evidence from women who are now standing in the public square saying that it has had an effect, and these studies show that it has had an effect. You know, nightmares, alcoholism, drug abuse, suicidal ideation, all of these are real things in post-abortive women. But, you know, the American Psychological Association and the left also say, no, that doesn't exist. But as a matter of fact, their claims are fake science, as well as the claims that there is no link between abortion and breast cancer. There are old studies in Japan that show a link between abortion and breast cancer. Also from Denmark that show a link between abortion and breast cancer. Studies that are denied by the ideologues on the left. Again, for reasons of fake science.
We are told in kind of in a nutshell for the last, now it's going to be 35 years, that the answer to the spread of STDs and other sexually transmitted diseases is simply the condom. It's that simple. And if people just did it, then we wouldn't have STDs out. No need to change one's behavior. The condom is the answer. What's your response?
Well, we are awash in condoms here in the United States, yet the STD rate is skyrocketing in the United States, most especially in the gay community. You know, there are STDs that they thought were extinct that are galloping back. I mean, we thought that syphilis was largely under control in the United States, and now it's reaching epidemic proportions, most especially in the gay community. So the condom lie is one of the great fake scientific lies of all time.
Austin Roos is our guest. We're talking about fake science on this Friday, July the 21st. He's president of CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights, a columnist for Crisis Magazine, and author of the new book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data. We'll talk about fake science and our food after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117. Stuck in traffic? Waiting in a line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the baseball game on Facebook. Download the digital version of The Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for special offer. $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian, but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. We're talking about fake science. Austin Roos of CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights, is our guest and author of the book Fake Science. Austin, there's a lot of examples of this, but give us a few of the fake science that we have been consuming regarding our food.
Well, you know, the chapter that I have on food is entitled 182 pounds of French fries, and it's a reference to a chemical compound that is found naturally in cereals and therefore breads and also potatoes and so therefore French fries. And in California, there's a state law that says that all food purveyors have to list every one of 600 or maybe 800 chemical compounds or chemicals that appear in their food. Most of them appear naturally. So it's onerously expensive to do this, but restaurants have to, and they do it. And one of them is this compound that appears in potatoes. But you would have to eat 182 pounds of French fries every single day in order to get into the cancer red zone from eating that particular compound. Go back a few years to the Alar scare, which was with regard to apples, a chemical that helps apples ripen. And Alar was eventually banned, and it turns out that Alar would only cause cancer if you drink, I think it was 5,000 gallons of apple juice every single day. And I say, you know, not even the most ambitious toddler is capable of doing that. So, you know, all of these food scares are mostly fake science based on the notion that you would have to eat or drink tons of it to be in danger.
Recently saw I think it was a TED Talk on that French fry issue where the fact, the amount of consumption was conveniently left out, but the process by which the potatoes were purged of their cancer-causing components there was in great detail. But the implication was left, Austin, that if you just ate one McDonald's French fry, you were exposing yourself to a carcinogen and risking your health. Is that what you're talking
right.
about?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is what a lot on the sort of anti-food left want people to believe, that even just a little bit of something is going to cause them cancer. And, you know, that's all just phony. And, you know, the problem is that this really harms the reputation of science. You know, the great Woody Allen movie Sleeper, where he's, you know, living, you know, 200 years in the future, where everybody is eating, you know, steaks and eating ice cream, and they say, oh, well, now it's understood that these things are good for you. You know, and this is what we hear. It's like fat is good, fat is bad. You know, sugar is good, sugar is bad. Salt is good, salt is bad. So in the food area, it's very confusing for people, and I think that it's hurting the credibility of science when they make these claims.
I'm not talking about individual scientists, but what is behind the fake science food scares, the GMO scares, all of those things? What's behind it? What motivates it?
Well, you know, I actually don't know. That's a very good question. I honestly don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I can theorize, but yeah, I don't deal with the why of that in the book. You know, one of the great stories I tell in the book is the DDT scare. This is an old story that needs to be remembered by people. DDT was a miracle compound that the American Army took with it to Europe. At the end of the war, when the Nazis were retreating from the city of Naples, they blew up the sewer system, and a malarial situation rapidly developed that could have wiped out the entire populace. The American soldiers landed, used the DDT, and killed all the mosquitoes and saved Naples. Then as the Nazis retreated up Italy, they would break dikes so that marshes would be formed and malaria would happen. So that as the American soldiers went up Italy, they sprayed and saved the people from malaria. When the American soldiers went into the death camps, they used DDT to save the few remaining souls that were in there from malaria. But in 1963, Rachel Carson wrote this book called Silent Spring, where she said that DDT hurts the little birdies. And that was false. It was false at the time. Yet DDT is now largely banned, and there's a malaria epidemic all over Africa, which is a deadly disease. And one of the problems of Africa today is malaria, but DDT cannot be used in the open.
So I'm trying to think of two possibilities here, Austin. If I wanted to completely discredit the scientific endeavor, I would do exactly what you had described before. I would say 1 year, coffee will kill you, and then I'd wait a couple of years, and then I'd say coffee is a life extender. If I wanted to discredit science altogether, I would come out with these contradictory findings that are pronounced with absolute certainty every couple of years. But I don't think that's what's going on here. Why does that kind of seesaw happen, do you think?
Well, I don't have an answer for why the seesaw happens, but I do have an answer with regard to credibility. And that is that science does amazing work. There are thousands of scientists doing incredibly important work, which are making our lives better and extending our lives. You know, I took a pill to stop smoking, and it worked. It was amazing. I take another pill for blood pressure, and it works. It's amazing. I mean, science does amazing work. It has a tremendous cache of goodwill because science solves our problems. You know, it gave us the smartphone. You know, we live in a remarkable age for science, but it may not last forever when they make these crazy claims that can be mocked and proven to be false, and when all of these papers are submitted that are later turned out to be false. So it's not an unlimited bank of credibility and goodwill. I mean, we've seen American universities now considered by most Americans suspiciously because of what they're doing. The media is now, you know, nobody believes the media. So it's not an unlimited bank of goodwill that they can draw from.
Do we have too many scientists, or rather perhaps too many people calling themselves scientists?
Well, you know, Carl Sagan was a rock star, and scientists are highly regarded in our society, and that attracts people for the wrong reasons sometimes. You know, we're minting 54,000 PhDs in America every single year, and some of them probably ought not to be in science. So there is a flood of PhDs across the sciences, all who need, you know, to publish, all who need grants, and among them will be some charlatans, especially now, because scientists like Bill Nye, the science guy, get a lot of attention, even though they're charlatans. So, yeah, there's probably too many. But, I mean, who are we to say how many is too many? But it has, I think, caused some problems.
Talk a little bit about Bill Nye, because he is that marriage between pseudoscience and the media, kind of that perfect storm of media darling. And what does he have, an engineering degree? I don't think scientists regard engineers as scientists, but talk a little bit about him and the place that he's played in kind of the as poster boy for fake science.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's just a monstrous charlatan. He's got a master's in engineering, and I don't think he even has a PhD. And you know, he was a clown on television who caught on and is now one of the spokesmen for science. He's one of the leaders of this march for science that was recently held in Washington, D.C. And you know, he said all manner of crazy, nutty, even mean things. You know, this week, saying that in order for global warming to be fully engaged in the United States, we'll have to wait for the older generation, he says, to age out, which means die. And so he's a charlatan, a very strange guy. Nonetheless, he's got a lot of credibility with the media. I mean, there is this unholy alliance between fake science and fake news. So a guy like Bill Nye can get tons and tons of coverage and awards for his television shows and things like that. But he's a joke. He's a joke.
You write this, and I'd like to know what you mean. Real science improves all our lives exponentially because it tells us the truth about the world we live in. Fake science that the left is pushing does just the opposite. How would you explain that?
Well, I mean, they tell us lies about the world that we live in. They tell us that homosexuality is inborn and immutable. They tell us that little boys can be little girls. They tell us that fracking causes earthquakes and cancer. In so many areas, there are scientific frauds casting a spell upon the American populace. So, yeah, you know, fake science is a very serious problem.
Austin Roos is president of CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights. He's a columnist for Crisis Magazine, author of the new book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data. When you purchase Fake Science using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for Fake Science by Austin Roos. Austin, thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor Ted Giese joins us on the other side of the break. We'll be reviewing the movie War for the Planet of the Apes. Stay tuned.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at lutheranfcu.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.